Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA, the man who bends it so tough, even David Beckham says, how do you do that? I present to you the one and only Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast.
All right, 3, 2, 1, we're live.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome. Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Glad to have you back. And finally, good evening.
Good evening.
To the Mr. National Podcast, I am the one and only Mr. National, and working the ones and twos, the producer, P Double. How are you, sir?
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good day.
Right, right.
Good night.
And before, and before anybody, you know, we don't have the lovely G with us today.
No, this is just Mr. National.
Right, right. We want to give a shout out to our lovely, lovely co-host. Hopefully she's listening. Hopefully she's going to take a listen and,
I need to be able to get a word in edgewise. So she's taking a break today.
Right, right. She's going to come at you. She's going to listen. And you know she listens and she takes notes. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yep.
She's almost as bad as, like, you know, tough as Jamie. You know, Jamie's another one. Jamie listens to the Mr. National Podcast. And it'd be stuff I said 18 shows ago. And when I see Jamie, she'll say, oh, yeah. I heard what you said. I'm like, what? What? I didn't do nothing. Get your ass on the board. Where's your team, man? I don't have a 4.0 team. She's like, I got one. So, Jamie is tough, and the lovely, lovely G is even tougher. But the funny thing is, G goes at P Double.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they clash with their Trump stuff.
She comes at me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. She's on,
all the socials.
Yeah, all the socials.
Yeah,
she's destroying my points. You know, trying to school me on all the government policies and, you know, foreign policies and moral policies.
Before we get into the meat of the show, what's going on? Did Trump do anything? We don't have G to even jump in. So
I'm going to play her role for a minute. He's always doing something. He's always doing something. I got to give it to him, man. He ran on the fact that he was not out. You know, he's an outsider. He's going to disrupt what's going on, and he's delivered on that promise. You cannot argue that.
Right.
Like him or not, he's delivered on that promise. Like. You know what I mean? Like when he was when he ran as a Republican, and when they went to their Republican debates, right? Like it was sort of like a given that Hillary was going to be the next president, and then right. There was a bunch of Republicans running, and Trump was just one of them. And he went in there and he was saying stuff that was pissing all of them off, you know.
Right.
And you got to give it to the Republican Party; they went out on a limb and they picked this nut job, and. And they nominated him, and he and then he shocked the world and won the election, fair and square.
Right, Alley over Sonny Liston, you know.
Yeah, shocked the world, and he won the election fair and square, too. That's important. I believe that he won it fair and square. I mean, I don't like the Electoral College. She got more popular votes than he did, but I'm not butthurt about that because that was the rules going into the election. Everybody knew that. And he won it, fair and square, and now he's doing his thing. And there's a lot of people that like it. And he does stuff every day. He does stuff to piss me off.
he's definitely outside the box in the non, you know, routine political route.
Right. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's what they wanted. I mean, America was tired of politicians and the way they did things.
Just saying you want to hear.
Yes, blah, so they blah, wanted blah. Somebody, and that's what he's been delivering on now.
Right,
you know.
Right. So
you could debate all the other stuff, but he right. has done what they wanted, and yeah. that shake up everything.
Right.
But the crazy thing is, you know, some of my trips that I've been going on, the cruise, mm-hmm. where you meet people from other countries,
yeah.
were that America looks foolish because you guys have that nut job, an idiot, running the country, and mm-hmm. he knows nothing. Yeah. So, you know, outside of the United States, you know, we think, you know, I mean, for one, I couldn't tell you where Australia was at on the map, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm right. just the United States map, okay?
Right, right.
So outside the United States, we're only a small part of the world. Mm, everybody right. else is looking at it like, you know, this guy doesn't know anything.
Right.
And it so that part, I mean, if anybody cares about that, that's
the way. I don't think a lot of Americans do.
Do, right.
They don't think that America is a small part of the world. I think they think America is the world. But we're just a little tiny piece of it.
Oh, my God. It's a little bit.
The rest of the world matters, you know.
Yeah.
And this little corner is not the world you're living in. Your little corner is not the world that you're living in. The world you're living in has all kinds of different people, all kinds of different religions, all kinds of different economies, beliefs,
cultures.
And it's important to understand that and have that inform your, you know, your way in the world, but I think a lot of Americans, in my opinion, aren't interested in that. They want somebody to make them feel good.
You're right.
Say America's great, or we're going to make America great again. Well, what's great about it? it is
right.
great. It is great, but you know what's great is you, the people, make it great. And when you work hard and when you do something great, that's what makes it great. You weren't born great. You got to do something great. You know what I mean? When you become
right.
educated, when you get a college degree, when you do something, you work hard at a job, you know, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps or whatever you want to call it. That's what makes it great. So you know, saying that you're great, I'm sorry, that's not great. That's
right.
dumb.
Right.
So.
D-U-M.
Exactly. But that's just my opinion. I understand that. That's just my opinion. I'm sure Jen would come on here and tell me why I'm wrong. But
well, boy, you are in for it now. Boy. Yeah.
We're only like, you know, 7 minutes and 21 seconds in. So
there you go. You got it out.
I didn't take that long.
Right. No. I just want to say, in my glass, P-Double, I have coffee today.
Must be a morning edition.
This is. You know, P-Double say, oh, man, look at you. You look like you got your Sunday's best.
Yeah, I'm feeling like a bum over here. I just rolled out of bed.
Me too. I got.
That's Mr. National.
I woke looks up
good,
like this.
It looks good.
Dude, I slept in every article piece of clothing I had on.
What were you doing last night? What could you possibly have been doing last night? What was going on?
All right, first let me tell you, yesterday, our listeners probably don't even know what day it is. We are talking about Saturday. I don't know what the date is, February. But whatever the date was, it was Margarita Day, National Margarita Day. And do you believe, folks, Mr. National didn't even have a margarita I was slipping.
You're slipping.
I was kind of recharging my battery on Saturday because I had to sleep because I knew the fight was coming on later that evening. Wilder versus Fury, part two.
Man.
And they didn't get in the ring till about, I'm going to say, midnight, maybe.
Really? Really?
Yeah, late. It was in Vegas.
Where did you go to watch it?
MGM Grand was where it was at. I ended up going over a buddy's house, mm-hmm. guys I grew up with, you know, from the mm-hmm. hood.
Okay.
When I went in there, I went in, you know, they were all sitting around. I got in, like, just as they were going in. And I'm, you know, everybody get up, you know, what's up, man, what's going on? Mm. And I'm thinking in my head, like, damn, I didn't know you got out of jail. I didn't know you was out. It was like the Thug reunion up in there, you know. So it was good. Like, dang, you. Another guy was like, "Dang, you got shot. You walking around pretty good, you know. You got a bullet in your freaking hip, you know." It's like, I was like, "Man, my buddy got."
So you stayed in Philly.
Yeah, I was in Philly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, these guys I grew up with in the hood. Man. I was like I say, three of them had been locked out. I didn't even know he was out of jail. Two other ones had been shot a couple times, and I was just surprised they were still walking around pretty good. So it was interesting. hey, that's the hood Mr. National grew up in. People don't know that, P Double. I mean, it was. Like I say, I might say on other shows, but it was bullet, you know, shots fired.
Right.
You know, we say that in electric football, shots fired. You call out somebody. Where I grew up, it was shots fired.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. So, no, everybody was cool. We all watched the fight, and so that's why I watched. It was good. It was Tyson Fury dominated the fight. Okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Well, Wilder, see, Wilder, I know he made that asinine comment that he could beat Mike Tyson in his prime, and that's a lie, okay? Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson would destroy that dude. This guy has really no, he doesn't have a jab. He doesn't really have nothing fundamentals about boxing, no head movement, no, he just punches very, very hard.
Hard, right, yeah.
Hard, with either hand. And his whole strategy is, you know, I'm going to just stay here out of trouble, you know, and I'm going to catch you, you know.
Right.
All it takes is one mistake, and he's true.
Right.
He's correct. When you have that kind of
power.
He won
most of his fights, like 45 out of 47 fights by knockout, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Something like that.
He's getting beat. A lot of fights, he's getting beat. He's getting outboxed. He's getting outwitted. And boom, he catches a guy, and then it's over.
Right.
Because he has... He doesn't just have punching power. He has, what's the word, like once in a lifetime or
power.
Yeah, power.
Yeah, on both hands,
You got to go Tyson, Foreman, Sonny Liston. He's in the top echelon of power punchers in the history of boxing.
Wow.
But that's it, you know?
Right.
And Fury was able to outwit him, stay away from the power punch, and he just kept dropping him. Now, the Fury hit him with, a right hand to the ear and busted his eardrum. He had blood coming out of his ear. So once
he looked disoriented after that.
There you go. Disoriented. Yeah, that's what happened.
After that.
His equilibrium was off. His balance, everything. He was just done. I think that happened in the second round, the third round.
Yeah.
And finally, his corner, Mark Breland, who was a great boxer in his own right, 1984 gold medalist in the Olympic team, threw in the towel.
Right.
So, I mean, it was a weird fight all the way around.
All Fury fights are weird because he's a weird
Well, I'm talking about in Mark Breland's corner, he wasn't really standing out in the Wilder. It was kind of weird that way where Mark Breland is his trainer. And then the last two rounds, Mark Breland was outside the ropes and some white guy was in there talking to Wilder. So it was like, you know, the only one guy could be in the ring with the boxer. That's your trainer.
Okay. So
Breland started, but he wasn't, you know, he would come wobbling back. He wasn't hollering. He was just, you know, just giving him water and just talking real calmly.
Yeah.
I thought that was weird. Then they come back another round, and then there's other guys in the ring with Wilder. So it was just weird. And they finally threw in the towel.
Yeah, I think the equilibrium thing was a major. When you get your bell rung. Takes a while to recover from that if it's an inner ear thing.
The announcer said a ruptured eardrum, and then after the fight,
his
whole head was swollen on that side. It was just like, wow, look at that from a punch. And Fury started singing, and after the thing, I mean, he gave props, he gave mad respect to Wilder. Those two guys, you know, I think they have a mutual respect. For each other.
Yeah.
They're two great guys. I mean, everybody tried to make that thing black versus white, great white hope. Mm-hmm. Both of them shut that down. Wilder, for one, was like, no, this guy ain't no white hope, and it ain't going to be that black versus white. He's a right. good boxer. I'm a good boxer. Right. So I give all, both those guys credit.
I don't
credit
think Fury's a good boxer. I think he's just tall and big.
No, Fury, I think Fury can box. Fury can fight. Fury.
Well, he's just goofy looking. I mean, the way, you know what I mean?
His, right, well, his build, form, his build, his, build
his form. And his punches aren't
he
hard.
Has a, he has a, he's he has got a jab. Reach. He has a jab. I mean, he has a head movement.
I mean, he had the jab working yesterday.
And he has the head movement. His yeah. head is not still. Because if you right. if you just stand there in front of a guy like, wow, you're going to get your bell rung.
Right.
And he knew
right.
that. Yep. And he would rush in. He would back out. Yep. So it, but the thing was after the fight, and the announcer was talking, he busted out with a karaoke night. He started singing.
Really?
Yeah, he sung. I can't remember the song, but he sung to his wife, and he sung to the
He's
crowd.
A weird dude, man.
That'll be the day that I die. That song. I can't remember that, but it was hilarious, man. So,
wow.
That was that night, and I was able to catch it. By the time I got in, it was might have been about 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I just fell out, and then I got up, and I'm doing the podcast right now.
Well, look, I know you guys can't see him, but he's looking fly.
He said, Pete double hit me up. He said, "Get your lazy ass up. You got a show to do, you know."
We got a list, right?
We got a full show. People texting me, "Are you dying? What's wrong with you? Are you sick?"
Yeah, you're out here living your life like it's a bucket list.
Like it's a hey man, it's on and
what's
popping.
Going on? What's going on? Is you got your days numbered or what?
Well, they could be. You never know.
You do never know. You never know.
Kobe Bryant, you know that's my saying. Kobe Bryant, you never know. So, yeah, I snuck out. I want to make Florida my new residence.
You like it there, huh? Especially this time of year, huh?
Yeah, Miami and then Orlando. Because
I know where I'm at, it's no joke. Philly's not much better.
No, yeah. Do you guys have snow out
there? Oh, yeah,
yeah.
The ground's covered with snow. Yeah,
we don't have
it. It's been 40 degrees yesterday and today, and it's still covered with snow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
we didn't get that, so... Yeah. You guys can keep that PW. You can keep that over there.
I need to get out of here.
We might need one, you know, just one good snowfall. You know, you always got to have some snow.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it, you know. So yesterday Saturday, before I was sleeping, I got to catch some XFL PW.
So is this the first game you watched?
Yes, I watched the Sea Dragons of Seattle playing at in Quest Field against the Dallas team, the Renegade.
Right, right. It was a good game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was football.
Landry Jones played some good football.
Did you? I didn't think so.
Well, at the end, he.
Oh, see, I didn't. Did he turn it on? Did they win?
Yeah, they won. They came back and won.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Yeah, that guy. I don't like that. I was pulling for Seattle, and
that young quarterback. I knew he would blow it. That younger guy, and Jim Zorn's such a nice guy. I remember when he played, man.
Yeah,
he was number 10.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy because you can hear him talking on the sidelines. For the first two games during the season, Jim Zorn didn't even realize that they had him mic'd up. He didn't know.
Oh wow!
So he's not putting on an act like Mr. Nice Guy act because you got him mic'd up.
Right.
He's really that nice.
Yeah.
But I think it's great that you can hear him talking to his players. You can hear him calling plays and
the
stuff.
Whole time. Yeah, I mean that's too much info for the NFL. I mean, you don't want that.
But what did you think of it? What else did you think of it?
I just thought it was fun. I thought all the interactive, like you say, from the fan point of view, it's great. And then even announcers, you know, some of them groupings. The guy was telling you, okay, scat that. That means this is going to be this kind of package,
right?
And that's great stuff to know, because most fans don't know football at that level,
right?
Or at that stage. So it was great when you hear all
fun.
That stuff.
I mean, it's fun to hear about it because I played in high school, right? And I knew how we ran things in high school, but you know, and I follow it pretty closely at the pro level. But still, you can still learn stuff. Even if you're a real football head, you can learn.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching football forever, and some of them packages he was calling, and the guy was right on. He was like, all right, this is probably going to be a draw, a delay, and it will probably, you know, by the verbiage, He's going to try to bust it up in here. And sure enough, that's just what it was.
And I love how they get the you know, they got the thing shield in their mouth, and they're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a trips right Atlanta Nancy, go wiggle on the Z. And you're like, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that. We're going to do a trips right
Atlanta. Nobody can see P-Double right now. Podcast. Well, P-Double held a piece of paper over his mouth when he called that play. That was Jim Zorn. Yeah. Stoops wasn't covering his mouth much.
No, but he didn't call the offense.
He doesn't call it, right. Yeah. So that was great. I loved it.
One of the great things I love about it is the pace of it. They keep it moving because they got a 25-second play clock.
Yes.
You know, and when the coach calls that play, the quarterback can hear it, but so can all the receivers. I don't know why they don't just have the line hear it too, but
I guess they got a different call.
Right. The line.
What he's calling is the grouping and the patterns receivers. So all the linemen just
when you hear the quarterback call the play, he'll just go, okay, we got trips Atlanta. Right. And that's it. You know, but all that other stuff was for all the receivers and stuff. So
that was a game. I watched that game, and then today is a game. Today is Sunday. Everybody's probably mostly going back to work tomorrow, so it's your last day. You know, I'm washing clothes and I got some laundry to do. And I'm gonna catch some more XFL.
Tonight, that was the XFL.
Okay, but the big boys made some major announcements. With the new collective bargaining agreement, they want a 17-game schedule, one extra team in the playoffs, and less preseason. Am I right?
I think that's what the owners proposed.
Yes.
Right? So now the players have to decide what they're going to come back with, right?
Right.
If I understand correctly.
Oh, and an extra bye week.
Oh, okay. Two bye weeks.
So now a long season. So what they're doing now, I think by the time the Super Bowl comes up, that Monday is a holiday and you'll be off. So everybody wanted the Monday after the Super Bowl to be a holiday. With this new 17-game schedule, an extra bye week, you pushing it into...
Oh, mid-February President's Day?
I think so. There you go.
Oh, okay. I think they should make it a national holiday. Like, you know what I mean? We all get the day off.
Right.
Let's do it up. Right?
Well, listen,
I think they should make the NFL CBA part of the Constitution.
That's it. I like it.
I'm going to run for president on that.
On that alone, it will get the
NFL party, right?
That's it.
The NFL party. You got Democrats, you got Republicans, you got independents, you got the Green Party, you got the Libertarians, you got, I don't know what else, but I'm the NFL party. Let's get it done. Mr. Nashville, you can be my VP. You can be my secretary of the interior.
I could be your running mate.
There you go. We could do this, man. We could do this.
All right, right here on the Mr. National Podcast, you heard it first.
I'm kicking off my campaign right here.
P-Double is running for president. And he has elected me his vice president, his running mate.
I'm already calling it.
So if we get assassinated, it was because somebody heard it and they was like, these guys got a shot with
that. Trump's worried.
He's worried.
You know how long he's been trying to get in the NFL?
Forever. He had the New Jersey Generals. He paid Herschel Walker a boatload of money to not even go to the NFL coming out of Georgia, come over to USFL.
Mm-hmm.
And the USFL's mistake was they tried to go right alongside the NFL.
Right.
Same time. Big mistake.
No, they played in the spring, summer. They played off season.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm 100%.
Right. Yeah. So why but did they
were,
though?
But they weren't because they got a lot of their players, and so they were trying to go toe to toe with them.
They were
right, but the XFL is not, and the XFL is doing great because I think what the XFL is doing is they're going to be more like a minor league kind of, you know,
like a farm system.
Yeah, but they're also doing different kinds of rules and different kinds of presentation, and I think people. They're just, what do people like? You know, the game doesn't last 4 hours. It lasts maybe three. There's a lot less commercials. People like that stuff. The interaction with the coaches. You know what I mean? They're drawing people in for other things not trying to get Herschel Walker or Steve Young, you know what I mean?
Reggie White, all the big names, yeah.
Right, you know, they're like a bunch of guys that played two or three years in the NFL and then were on the bubble. Come play in the XFL, maybe you'll get another shot, but let's give some excitement and something that fans like. We're all, you know, still jonesing for some football after the Super Bowl was done.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's great.
You like it better than the Arena Football League?
I never watched much of the Arena Football League.
But Arena is like almost fast break football. Right. It's basically, I mean, it's really fasty.
Yeah, they don't really have linemen.
No, not really. Right. It's almost like a 7-on-7 drill.
Yeah. No, I mean, the XFL is football, you know.
It's football, right.
Right. But
it is. But it's no gimmicks. It's football with a lot more accessibility for the fans to see. So,
anyway,
what do you think about that P double? What do you think about that NFL CBA? That do you like it? 17 games, two bye weeks.
I think the players. I'm for the players, really. I mean, I think the NFL is just. So there's so much money in it. These owners, you know, like Ezekiel Elliott got $13 million or whatever he got, right?
Right.
I was just reading about Emmitt Smith when he held out for a couple games back in '93.
Mm-hmm.
His contract was $13 million.
Right.
Right. So you're telling me 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago, top running back in the league is still making the same amount of money. You know what I mean? But
right. But
Jerry Jones, I bet you he's not making the same. You know what I mean?
Right, that's true.
I tend to be on the side of the players. I think the players need to be paid more. You might think that they're ridiculous, their checks are. I do. But somebody's writing that check.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think these players put their life on the line for this game. You know, I think they should get what they want. 16 games.
You compare Zeke to Emmitt, you know. That money might be the same because the running back has been devalued in the NFL, NFL.
That's true.
Now, what your boy Dak is asking for is way more than what Troy was getting.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay?
Yep.
Your argument has holes.
You got me.
I'm playing G.
That was a pretty big hole. I mean, I set that one up, didn't I?
You walked right into that one.
No, I mean, I just think like
Dak wants 40 mil.
Yeah, hold on before we get to Dak though. I mean, if the players they don't want 17 games, I think they should do like 16 games, one bye week. I like the format now, less preseason for sure.
One more playoff team
in the playoffs for each conference. I don't know how that would work, but I'm sure maybe do that. I don't know. I don't think it's anything major. I think they need to work it out, and I'm sure they will.
I think they're going to work it out. I think they're going to do it. I think it's going to be 17 games.
Really?
I do. Hmm. With the extra bye week. I think they're going to lather up the players some kind of way with a little bit of more money or something for the extra game.
I mean,
an extra bye week.
There's more money to be had. I mean,
and holiday after the
NFL.
Holiday after the Super Bowl. I think I think that's going to happen.
Hmm.
Maybe not this season coming up, but I think that's
pretty soon.
Yep, pretty soon. If not this year, next year.
So, anyway, Dak wants 40.
Yes. So
right now, Carson Wentz is getting 33.
Carson is better than Dak.
And, yeah, I mean, like, if you think that Dak is good, sure, he deserves 40. But I just don't think he's good. I don't think it's anything like disrespect to like. I think they should do better.
That's the thing.
I think they should pay somebody $40 million, not him. Okay. You know what I mean?
So you can do better.
Right. I just don't like him as a quarterback
for our $40 million.
Right.
diehard true Cowboys fan is not feeling that, and he thinks for $40 million you could do better. Okay,
I mean,
there's
a lot of players that I would pick up and just dump Dak. I mean, I don't think he's that good. I never have. Like he can't hit a running back on a screen pass without the running back having to jump for it or back up and catch it. You know, right. you got to hit him in stride so that he can gain.
Yeah, got to lay it in there.
I'm telling you, I could have played the quarterback for that team this year and got 3,000 yards passing. You know what I mean?
What's the P that was called?
But I mean, I'd pick up Phillip Rivers. I'd pick up Matt Stafford. You know,
Tom Brady. Tom Brady, $30 million.
But take some of that money and put it in and buy a couple linebackers, you know? Man, their defense needs some help.
They got good linebackers. I don't think so. Lee?
No.
Well, you got Lee is old.
He needs to retire. He's done.
Well, you got Van Esch is always hurt. He's Lee 2.0.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. He played out of his mind the year before.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was kind of, he came out of nowhere, so we'll see. But Smith is good. Quinn is not. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they need help there, I think. That's a big hole on their team. But other than that,
they got a great
team. There's no way they should be 8-8.
No way. Well, the problem was obviously the coaching. So they fired him. Okay?
Yeah.
Garrett is gone. All right, so
we'll see what
happens. Now we're going to see if it's the players or not.
Yeah,
maybe
McCarthy can, you know, get Prescott rolling. I don't know, but.
They're going to keep him.
Yeah, I know
the only option they could do is franchise him. The thing is what happens is the player wants the long-term deal. They want the long-term deal. They want some kind of.
Yeah, he wants the respect too, you know.
The respect, and they want that I'm going to be here. I'm wanted. Sometimes the franchise, if they're still not sure, they don't want to commit to that long. Right. That's when they franchise you, like the Redskins did with Cousins for all those years.
Right. Yep.
And that's an option. That's an option that the Cowboys.
I think Jerry Jones is going to sign him.
Yeah,
because
he will.
Because Jerry Jones' guy. You know what I mean? I think Jerry Jones likes him as the face of this franchise and. So
okay, talking about a face of a franchise, we all know LeBron is the face of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But that Zion Williamson, that kid from Duke, he finally got a chance to play P-Double, and he balling.
Watch out, man.
How can a man
awesome.
280 pounds,
he can fly.
6'6", fly and move like that?
I think he can fly.
It's like 19, 20 years old. He's pushing grown men around with one dribble and then just dunking on them. It's almost Barkley-esque. He reminds me of Barkley, but a little bit better, more hops. But he has more ball skill, you know, handling than Barkley.
He's quicker.
Shooting, so.
He's quick.
Yes.
Man.
How long do
you think he's going to last? I mean, he looks like...
He can't. I don't think he can.
He looks just like he's going to go down, you know? But, man, he's awesome.
I want to say, he reminds me of Shaq, Charles Barkley, and Clyde Drexler. Those are three players.
Yeah, all the rolled three. Into one.
Yeah, under one. Yeah. Shaq, Charles Barkley, and Clyde Drexler. So, at that weight, those landings...
Yeah, I know.
All that force coming down.
What is he, 19, 20?
20, somewhere around there.
He hasn't even filled out yet. You know what
no.
I mean? When you were 19, 20, you were skinny, you know what I mean?
And now,
you know, a few years go by and your chest fills out and your arms fill in, your shoulders, you know. He hasn't had that yet. He's still just a skinny little kid.
He's a big, he ain't skinny. That dude, man, I don't know. Once he stopped playing, he's going to blow up like a balloon.
But it's fun while
listen, he's 280 and he's a professional athlete. What is he going to weigh when he stops? You know.
Yeah.
Look at Barry Sanders. You see Barry?
Yeah,
Barry
he's all chubby.
He gets a little chubby. I'm like, look at Barry Sanders. Living good, man. I can imagine. So that's Barry Sanders. I can imagine what Zion going to look like, man.
Yeah. Well, right now he looks great, man. He looks
awesome.
He's scoring 22 a game.
It's between him and Ja Morant for Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And Zion might have I don't know what the odds in Vegas is, but I'm picking.
Well, I mean, he's just getting warmed up too.
Yes, know? Right. He just started.
Right. Yeah.
So he's up and coming. And then in Chicago, the All-Star break happened, and the two teams wore Kobe's number 24, uh-huh. and then the other That's team wore cool. Gigi's number 2. So everybody had the same number. The trophy is renamed after Kobe Bryant. So great dedication to the Mamba. Okay, and they changed the way the game was played. They had like a target score, and it was very competitive. It was very, very competitive and entertaining. Kawhi Leonard walked away with the MVP. But the highlight to me was that slam dunk contest.
I didn't see it.
The night before. Oh, man, you got to go
I've
to
heard. YouTube. I've saw so
Aaron
much
Gordon.
Yeah.
And I forget the kid that won it from Miami. Was he from Miami? I think. I forget. But they did some dunks. Oh, man, Aaron Gordon, I think, should have won that thing. It was the dunks. He did this dunk off the side of the backboard, one-hand windmill, twisting. Oh, it was sick. So, like that.
Those are awesome, man.
Dude, that and yeah.
Check it out.
How can people, a human, do that? Is just beyond
who
me.
Who won the 3-point shootout?
I don't even know.
No, I was, check I that was, out.
Yeah, yeah, and the skills competition. So yeah. I was, I just
fun weekend, man.
Great weekend of basketball. Like again, they did the tribute to Kobe and his daughter. That was great. That was great. So that's a good feel-good story. On the other spectrum of sports, P-Double, is those cheating bastard Astros and their owner coming out and saying that he didn't think the base stealing thing really affected the games and his players didn't wear no buzzing device. That was two lies, okay? Is he running for office?
right. What do you want to spot in the administration or something?
Yeah, yeah. He wants to become a politician. It absolutely affected the outcome of the series. And they did have devices because pitchers show little lumps in their uniform. And Altuve coming around home plate
holding
his shirt. Said,
hey, you're saying they're not like undercover agents, right?
Because he didn't want them to start ripping off and the thing to fall off.
Are you wearing a wire? Are you wearing a wire? No, I'm not wearing a wire. No, you're, nothing. No,
right. He's driving around home plate after hitting that game winning home run like, no, I got a piece on. You can read his lips. Uh-huh. It's just like they did. They cheat. And like you said, Peter, before we actually started the show, you were saying they just need to just fess up and apologize. I don't know. I think they need more than apologize. They need to. They try to say, "Oh, it's old news." That is not old news. That is not going away.
It's like you just got busted, man. You cheated, and you won the World Series,
right?
And you cheated.
That's
and
like
as long as you know they need like heads need to roll, and they need to apologize. And as long as they don't, it's still going to carry. The story's going to carry on.
Yeah,
I mean, you could squash it right now. And fire some people or
well, they
you know,
fire managers
right,
and stuff.
But sanction the team or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Something's
got to
happen. Right. They might even have to just take their championship away. Yeah, but I don't know if you take that away. Like, who do you give it to?
Right, I mean, I don't know what they got to do. You know, they can figure that out. But the league can figure it out. But it's like, you know.
I think they should have just been banned from the season. They shouldn't have been allowed to play this year. That's what I would have did. Like, y'all done.
Yeah.
This year, everybody get a forfeit win, like electric
fucking
football.
Fucking cheated.
You get a forfeit win. You don't
have
get
you ever. So like, have you ever played anybody and just they cheated? Like they come in with a 5.0 weight player or something.
Yeah. You playing a guy in electric football and the weight is you know a certain thing. We Philly we 3.4, so we're no weighted. So we 3.4. So you might get a guy to come in. And he's pushing your team around. You know, you got some pretty good, strong bases. Whatever. You're like, damn. You're like, man, wait this guy. And then his whole offense, you know, not going to say the whole. Let's say D-line, offensive line. You want to – 8 players come up 3.5, 3.6, all heavy. And then he wants to say, oh, well, you know, that didn't matter. That wasn't the reason why I was winning 21-0.
Have you ever come across that situation?
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you
Absolutely.
Do? What'd you do?
disqualified. You're disqualified. It's over. That's what I did.
Yeah.
That's what we did as a league, yeah.
Yeah.
We caught guys in playoff games. We caught 11 guys heavy over the weight limit.
Just cheating.
So, unless you know, I mean,
I can see like one or two guys.
Right.
You know, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't, you know, my bad. I mean, but.
What happened to that coach is, I'm not going, you know, out nobody, but.
Maybe they got the bases mixed up or something.
Let's say they played a wild card game in their white jersey.
Okay.
Okay. And they won that game. So now they went to, and now in the next game, they're on the road, and the other guy wants to be in the white jersey or whatever.
Right.
So now you got to switch your bases if you don't have two teams based up. So instead of taking off and like placing your guys on a scale, you know, he basically just took bases off and put them on new guys, on the dark jersey guys.
Yeah.
You know, more collar, you know, white jersey team would probably be lighter than a dark jersey because the men come mostly white. You know, you ain't got less paint. So a lot of it probably had to do with that. But
or you mix up like a heavier figure and put it on a heavier base.
On a base, right. And you didn't weigh it. So that's you know, on you. You know, you should have weighed as you was doing it. And they just put the base.
But cheating is like when you come in, you got your whole O-line. Like,
Or you have, you know, too much putty under, or you only supposed to use putty and you use, you know, magnets.
Mm-hmm.
You get caught with magnets under or something else. So it could go a lot of ways. In electric football, I tend to stay away from the C word because that's that's pretty harsh. You know,
You better be ready to back that up if you're going to.
You cheating. You know, it's. I would just say you didn't see it. Or you thought you saw it that way, cheating is cheating is big. I can't even cheat.
I was watching the game, and this one coach was like, everything, all the close calls were going his way.
That's kind of like cheating.
I saw it hit the ground before it hit that, you know, like the other coach, like, I think that's interception. No, it hit the ground. Like everybody else is looking at it going, I don't know, that's an interception, you know? They're like, you know, that's pretty much an interception. And Hulk's like, he's a cheating ass. But he wouldn't say, but nobody would say that word out loud.
Because
Hulk, it's, you know.
It's cheating is tough. I mean, you gotta have backing. backing to say cheating, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going to say that. But the Astros, that's cheating.
That's cheating.
Okay?
Right.
Like
the Patriots and the video stuff.
Yep.
I mean, technically it's cheating, but you know, like all the teams are doing dirty stuff like that, you know?
But that's not an excuse. Two wrongs don't make a right.
No, I'm not saying it is. I wouldn't hurl out the cheating on that.
Tom Brady deflated the ball to make it more comfortable in his hand, and that's cheating. You're not supposed to do that.
I'm going to throw out the cheating word on those, but the Astros,
dirty.
Yeah.
It was like when I went to the Disney World trip, and you know, they got the Galaxy's Edge, the whole thing set up like Star Wars in Hollywood Studio, and it. The people dressed up like the First Order, and they call you rebel scum. I don't know, rebel scum.
Make sure we can know everybody can know where to see pictures of all Mr. National's travels.
I don't even know where
the socials.
The Mr. National podcast Instagram page has quite a few of them, so we put them up there. Discreetly, we don't want everybody knowing everything, but rebel scum. That's what the Houston Astros are. Rebel scum.
Yeah.
So back to the EF. We got the College Bowl Series starting, and Dr. Bob is behind this grand. What's the word for it? This grand theatrical experiment.
I don't know, man. It looks pretty awesome. there's 55 coaches signed up. And, hey, these coaches are committed because it was no joke. It was a $100 entry fee.
Whew. Oh, yeah. If you pay $100, yeah, you win.
I think that's a big thing, like, with electric football.
What? Yeah.
You got to have a good, like, entry fee, right?
Yeah.
And it's not because you want a lot of money. It's not because you're going to have, like, you know, some big extravagant league. What you want is committed coaches. Right? And so if your entry fee is $100, maybe a lot of these are play there all their games.
Get some of the money back. Okay, $100, that's 55 coaches, that's $5,500. Like, how much trophies can you buy? What is the money?
But so, there's five.
What's the money going to? Why $100?
Five regional leagues, right?
Uh huh.
And they're going to each have their own season, just like a college season. They're going to play like 8 or 9 games.
Okay.
So you got the Big Ten. It's going to, you know, all
the
Midwest, Ohio, Illinois.
Yeah, all the little, yeah, it's almost like group play in a TOC.
Right.
You play your season with your guys.
Yep. And then at the end, they're going to have a national playoff in Dallas.
Okay.
And the top teams from each conference are going to Dallas.
Okay.
I don't know the details behind it, but I think maybe the league will pay for your trip there.
Oh, for those coaches that make it. Okay.
Right.
That makes sense. Maybe they're going to pay for their hotel, maybe a night at their hotel or something.
A plane ticket or, you know, I don't know.
And the plane ticket would vary too much. You probably couldn't
true.
Handle
that's
the plane
true.
Ticket.
Maybe put them up in a hotel or something.
Maybe one day everybody gets one day, you know, because maybe the tournament can happen in one day. So if you want to stay earlier or later,
I don't know for sure on that. But
that's the only thing. That's the only thing. When you get those big entry fees, people want to know, and they have it right. Where is the money going?
Well, I think Dr. Bob, he runs it like, I mean, he's got it like looking pretty good, you know.
Well, good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's first class, you know. So I'm sure there won't be anybody crying about the money.
No. Not with Dr. Bob. That guy's rich anyway. He got a Porsche collection.
You know? Really?
Like,
oh, wow.
Dr. Bob is rich. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like,
he's not putting on airs.
Right. There's no, I can't think of the word. When you I'm drawing a blank.
Overcompensation or whatever?
Yeah. Like, no exaggeration. No exaggeration. He's rich. So if you want a guy to handle his money or handle your money for a league, Dr. Bob is it.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Mr. National, that's one of my I can hang my hat on that, you know. I handle a lot of money in the league, and a lot of people in the hobby trust me to handle that. So that's a big responsibility, and that's one of the things I'm most proud of.
You have integrity.
When the lottery came out, those big Powerballs, I was a guy put on like a multi-state
group.
Ticket thing, group, for the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you buy 2 tickets in your city and post it to this thread or this email or this text, and you're in.
Right.
And, dude, we had like 30 tickets.
Wow.
And all you paid was $4 because all you had to do to be in our group was just buy 2 tickets and take a picture of them and put them in. So we had like eight states, 9 states, 12 cities or something, and we had a big group. And people trusted me to organize it and take care of it.
Right.
So
I didn't know he was rich, but he looks, from what I could see, I watched like the Gridiron Buzz show about it. And looked at the website and people posting about it. It looks awesome for electric football.
Dr. Bob. Yeah, he's loaded. So he's loaded. Don't worry about where your money going. Like,
but I mean, Dr. it looks Bob. Like it's going to be fun.
And that's the bottom line. It's just that college thing has been done before. The High Voltage did back in the day, Raider Man, the Kling Bells, Mike Pratt and all them. We did the High Voltage League, which was the same format, but you just made up your team all, like almost like XFL teams.
Right.
Okay. Then Reggie Rutledge, a few years back, did the CBS MF, the College Bowl Series. It was right before the college football went to a playoff that Reggie and those guys, Morgan Scott was involved. They had a College Bowl Series that actually culminated to a playoff, and it was the same thing. In your group, you had your own little season. The best teams from each conference met in one area, one spot, and they had the national championship playoff. So,
nice.
And now Dr. Bob is picking up the baton, and he's going to run with it. And you couldn't ask for a better guy to take the baton and run with it than Dr. Bob. I mean, he has the finances to pull it off. So it all comes down. I mean, it all comes down to money, really. That's what I tell guys. You can't have romance without finance. You love electric football, you're going to have to pay to play, okay?
So, right from Mr. National, man.
That's it, right. So it all
no
comes down to money, you know.
Spoken.
Yeah, you got to have money. Like,
oh, by the way, this weekend they're having an Apex tournament in Kentucky, I think it is.
Kentucky or somewhere,
Yeah, that's a pretty good one, too. Tego.
That is.
And then the
biggest TOC, I want to give a shout-out to my main man, Darrell Bavard, 20-year anniversary of the Clash in Maryland coming up in about a couple weeks, right before St. Patrick's Day. So big shout-out to
Darrell. That's the biggest hotbed of electric football is the D.C., Northeast. Philly.
Philly, Jersey. Maryland.
Yeah.
That's it, kind of Jersey. But Philly and Maryland, which are 2 hours apart.
Yeah.
Well, that's
Detroit's a close second.
Very close. And then out on the West Coast has a lot of guys too. Yeah.
Well, and then
course, the South.
Yeah, like anybody in the Deep South right now is going.
South.
Oh, shut up.
You're
putting us
as far as numbers, you can't beat Philly and Maryland.
Right.
You know. And like I say, we're 2 hours apart. Brian Phillips has the resurgence of the Maryland guys as a whole playing together, and just the Philly group is just a hotbed right there.
Mm-hmm.
Just sheer numbers,
out
on the West Coast they got the numbers, but it's so much.
It's so
dude, it's Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's so drama. You know what happened? Like Detroit, dude, they had so many guys, but then stuff gets in between them.
Yeah,
and Detroit's they split hard. Up. I mean, you got Detroit's the Renaissance, hard. You got the Great Lakes, you got all these different leagues.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's a little bit of fussing going on there.
There's a little bit of fuss, and it's going to happen. But then what happens is, you just need to just say, look, let's just play.
Right.
You got to be somebody's got to just step down and be the bigger man. Like whatever you want to do, let's do it. You know.
Right.
Some people want to take control of everything. You just play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's fun to have those big groups when you're playing, but some guys just can't see eye to eye with each other, some groups, and they just go play. And it happens.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen in the Michigan area where they have a lot of coaches. They just don't.
Toledo, Columbus.
Yeah,
Cincinnati.
They just don't play together.
There's a lot, like I play in Ohio Valley, which is in Cincinnati. There's a lot around there, too, and it's not that far from Detroit. You know, and so if you Toledo, there's a big, huge league there, Cleveland, all of those, if they could somehow, you know,
come together.
Work it out. But
I'm
not the guy who's going to line that up. So. but I would like to see it. I would like to see it. It would be fun, you know.
Right. It would be. I mean, It's tough. Like I say,
it is. It's
Philly
tough.
Has the NFL and the 32 and then the NFL with another. A lot of those coaches are Maryland coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That you know,
they travel.
They have
up
their own 4.0 and they have their own style. They want to change something up. They want to play with a different team, and they come over to Philly and they play. And some of the Philly guys don't travel too much. That's number one.
Right.
These tournaments you see,
they don't have to.
I
know you do.
That's true. I do. And that was the thing. Back when I, you know, I want to say I got back into it in 99, 98, back into organized, you know, in the fray, that Philly had 16 coaches right there. The NFL was one of the bigger, better leagues with James Cruz, Mark Thompson, Paul Daniels. These guys were, you know, big names in the hobby, you know, doing things. Myron Evans. And I got involved with those guys. We had the best. Everybody was, you know, man, them guys got it going on. That's a good thing. But I saw other people playing things, and I just wanted to meet. And my whole thing getting in was I never wanted to win no title or trophy. My whole thing was I wanted to meet everybody.
I figured that out first. I go to the tournament and you weren't even playing. I'm
right.
Like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then I started to realize, oh, he's just gonna socialize.
I started going to Harrisburg. Harrisburg used to be huge.
Really?
Raider Man, George Dine. Oh yeah, they had coaches. Abby, Big Al, they had coaches. So they had their league. I would go there. I would play in some of their leagues. They had Mike Pratt out in Altoona. I used to go to these different – and the guys in Philly were kind of like laughing. Was like, you know, why are you going out play with them guys? They ain't that good. You trying to get a title. That's what you're trying – you can't win here. I was like, man, I don't care about winning. I just want to just go see how they play, what they do to make – you know, how they have fun. And what I was able to do was travel and see some of these other leagues – and take some of their ideas and rules, right. And I was able to bring it back to the Philly. Yeah. So I sprinkled it.
I think a great thing about doing that, too, is if you go out and do that, you see, like, you know, oh, this rule that everybody doesn't like is going to ruin our league.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
No.
You see other leagues doing all kinds of weird stuff, and it's fine. They're having fun. So the big thing is just, you know, have fun. Just
yeah.
Because you don't like this rule or that rule doesn't mean it's going to ruin your game.
Thought it was funny, the strategy divider. Why are they playing Battleship? And I was like, you know, we joke about it, like, you know, pull up the curtain and what's going on. And I played it, and it wasn't that bad. It was fun, you know?
Right.
Philly guys would never go for that, but I just wanted to experience. The box, shaking the box, I wanted to experience that.
Right.
Try to bring some of that back. The main thing. Before we wrap up this podcast, the Mr. National podcast, P Double is staring me down. Was like,
no.
Well,
Keep it rolling.
We gotta go. So, the one thing, my stomach growling, but it's good. In Philly, the old style was you had to ref a game, then play a game.
Okay.
You had to have a ref. Every game needed a ref.
Right.
Because the coaches were so competitive that you would throw a pass. And knew you missed it, but you looking at the ref.
Mm-hmm.
You throw the pass and look at the ref.
Right, waiting for the end. Hey, make the call.
You make the call. And that was one of the first things I started doing. When I started playing, you know, I didn't get caught up in all the politics. Because Philly had that, too. Some guys didn't play. We had a couple different leagues. I just wanted to play and just have a good time. So when I threw a pass, got him, you know, or miss and take my thing. Mm-hmm. And the ref didn't have to do nothing. And that was rare.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went out and visited all these other leagues, that's how they played.
Right.
D-double, me and you had a game. Me and you playing, we reffing our own game. If we wanted to call over a set of eyes, you know,
right.
We would call over. Tight pass with guys. You look for the pick, I'll look for the completion. That kind of thing.
Right.
Philly, that was one of the biggest hurdles that we had to overcome. And Harold King, one of the original guys that started the league back in 97 or whenever it started, 95.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 23rd year coming up
awesome.
For Philly NFL. He made the call, you know, a second demotion to we're going to just play the games. And the two mm-hmm. coaches are going to ref
their own game.
Their own game.
Okay.
And it would allow more games to be played.
Right.
Because you would be up there for 4 hours, 4.5 hours, because you had to ref a game. Then play a game, or play a game, then ref a game.
Right.
So instead of you being up there a whole game, not even doing nothing, now you could play two games. That same time, you had a chance to play a game.
Right.
And that all came about from me seeing how all these other leagues strive with just the two coaches playing and no problem. And I came back to him. I was like, dude, we gotta do that. I mean, this could be done.
Mm-hmm.
And he agreed, and then we made it law. And that just opened up the doors for all these guys to start coming in and not having the ref and just opened it up. So, that whole thing of being national is it's not copyrighted. Everybody, you know, everybody could be national. I mean, the Gridiron Buzz, Roger and Dustin, they're national, okay? Brian Phillips, he travels, he plays in different leagues, he's national. Arcade Games, he's national, okay? So it's national in everybody, but don't get it twisted. I am the Mr. National, okay? So you can have national in you, but you're not national. I'm national, all right? But just play and have fun, and I wish everybody could just come together. It just comes down to plastic, guys. These rifts that split up these leagues should not exist. You guys got to come together.
I'll say it right here. For Detroit, Toledo, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus, there's a lot of great coaches all in that area, even Chicago. And the Midwest is full of electric football.
Yep.
Real enthusiasts. I think they could have a great, huge league there. The rules don't matter. Pick TOC rules, pick front of base. Whatever it is you want, doesn't matter.
I'm challenging.
Get together and play. Make a league.
I'm challenging them, P-Double.
Yeah?
That area you just said, get a 32-team league. Get it going.
Yeah, something, man, like that. There's no reason. I mean, look at all those. They got a great league in Chicago. We got a great Ohio Valley League. They got two leagues in Detroit. They got the Electric Football Network in Toledo. There's some good coaches in Cleveland and Columbus. Columbus has their own league. Kavan runs the league in Columbus. All those leagues right there could really put together a great, fun, you know,
I'm telling you, they had one of the toughest leagues out there.
Well, that's the thing too, is there's really quality coaches.
They had Black Chuck, White Chuck. they had Jamel, they had Canale, they had Norbert. They had all these guys. They had Will Shropshire coming in. They had Moody.
All these guys are still there.
I know, but they're just all split up. Right. They're Renaissance, they're Great Lakes, they're this. Yeah. Get together.
Silly.
I'm going to talk to Jamil and Simi. I want them to get the one big league, 32 teams, 16 game schedule, and make it happen. Just get the league going, and I'll be the commissioner.
There you go.
P Double will be the treasurer. It's just going to fund
give Dr. Bob the money.
Yeah, just get Dr. Bob.
You'll see it.
But listen, Dr. Bob could take the money. I know he's all invested in stocks and bonds. He could probably, you give him your league fees, you come back, he'd probably double it for you.
Right, you might get a return on investment.
You might get a return.
your legal turn a profit. People right. Start demanding contracts. I want $40 million. Norbert's going to require $40 million to play this year.
That's what I want.
Hulk says, "Ain't no way Norbert's going to get $40 million. I'm not getting mine."
Right, right. If he gets $40 million, I want $41 million. Fuck that, Hulk. Listen, we could do it. Michigan, and Texas. Texas, I think, kind of keep their thing going pretty good. But Detroit, it was a powerhouse, is a powerhouse. They just split
it together
up.
Detroit.
Yeah. It's like that glove that super villain guy Thanos was trying to collect. The stones. They just all split up in different leagues. They just need to put all of them in one glove and get that power fist going. and get 32, you know, so or do college, then they could do. I mean, there's a lot of people. So, all right. So that's the podcast right there. Boom. That is not letting the tiny rifts separate your league and divide you guys. Just get it together. All right.
That's how we do it on the Miss National podcast.
That's how we do it.
Like we have the lovely G on, and she can just rip me apart, but we're still. You know, we're still trying.
Right. We don't split off. We don't go to P Double Podcast, the Mr. National Podcast, and then the Lovely G Podcast. We all come together. You can riff and fight and agree to disagree. But I would just love to have that Detroit League get back together again, because those are my guys. I mean, I got so many of them guys in my cell phone, P Double.
Yeah,
good guys.
Yeah.
So let's get it back. Dr. Bob, want to say good luck to you. Jamie, I know you listen. I'm going to bust your ass when we get on the board. Love you. The Hulk, I love you. I hope your wife is doing better. And always give a shout out to our boys, Gridiron Buzz and Mo, Electric Coach. He knows he's got a job to do coming in June, broadcasting the NFL Super Bowl. So keep them boards buzzing. PW, you got anything to add?
No, that's a podcast.
That's a podcast. Hey, Kit, out there in Kuwait, when you get back to town, you got to show your theory, your thing. You know, that might be the style that the Michigan coaches adapt for their one big league. All right, that's it. I'm gonna be. That's gonna be it. Kit Kitchen, take us out of here, baby.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast. Now that didn't hurt, did it? Check out this and other podcasts at www.stackwitnashow.com.